Good afternoon. This program is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the program today, coming up, we will be hearing live in our studio five members of the Millikan University vocal ensemble called Tudor Voices, directed by Daniel Carberg. They have a new CD out called In Vale of Tears, and we'll be getting an idea of what's on that CD. Actually, we'll hear some from it. I think it's brand new. I believe they brought it with them. And hearing some live performance in our studio. But first on the program, we have a conversation with Dick Hensold from Minnesota. He's a performer on the Northumbrian small pipes, as well as a lot of other types of bagpipes, and he's going to be giving a concert in Urbana Sunday night on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. We'll hear all the details and music from his CD, which is called Big Music for Northumbrian Small Pipes. Here's a sample. Just heard music played on the Northumbrian small pipes, which we will certainly explain very shortly, by Dick Hensold, who's based in St. Paul, Minnesota, and some consider him perhaps the premier performer on the Northumbrian small pipes in North America. He was joined by guitarist Dean McGraw. The tune was called New Way to Morpeth, and I thought we'd open with that music because it sort of represents, well, it does represent at least a couple of the many types of music that Dick Hensoldt has gotten involved in. Dick Hensoldt is going to be performing Sunday night at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series at Heartland Gallery on West Main Street in Urbana. And he is my guest on this portion of Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So I indicated lots of different interests. If one looks over your short bio, I'm just going to read part of it. I like the term where it says, a full-time freelance musician specializing in, interesting term there, because then we go on to say, in early music, traditional music of Scotland, Ireland, and Northumberland, Nordic folk music, and Cambodian traditional music, which makes one wonder, well, where's the specialization? It sounds like, a lot of things in there.
Well, it's true, but after I started learning all those, I decided I had to draw the line somewhere and not take on any new genres. So that I was focusing on just those four different main things for have done that pretty much for the last 20-25 years.
Out of even a broader mix of things that have interested you over the career.
Oh yes.
Well, let's just start first with the Northumbrian small pipes. Two questions. What is Northumbrian and what are the small pipes versus what other kinds of pipes?
Northumbrian small pipes are small pipes from Northumberland. Northumberland is the northeasternmost county in England, so it's just across the Tweed River from Scotland. A very similar ethnic group and very similar culture to Lowland Scots culture. So it's in England, but it's very much a border culture, and they share the same general music style on each side of the border. The small pipes is a bagpipe with a technically it's a bagpipe with a cylindrical bore in the chanter, which makes the pipe A, much quieter, and B, much smaller, and C, it changes the tone acoustically. The acoustics of a cylindrical bore give you a tone, say, like a clarinet. The tone of the Northumbrian small pipes, I think of it as being sort of a cross between a clarinet and an oboe.
Well, it seems a little mellower than some other types of pipes.
Right. And that's the shape of the bore. That's the acoustics of the bore that caused that.
So when you say that it is smaller and quieter, then which other types of pipes? Because I know, for example, there's the Illan pipes, which are also small.
Right. They're smaller and quieter than that.
Mm.
And a lot smaller and a lot quieter than Highland Great pipes, which are the kind of pipes that most people are familiar with from people marching down the street in parades.
Right. When somebody says bagpipes, that's what most people think.
That's what most people think, right. And in fact, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of different kinds of bagpipes. There's bagpipes from all different areas of Europe and some places beyond Europe.
And at your concert on Sunday, you're going to be playing a bunch of these.
Right. I'm going to be playing Swedish bagpipes, which are a traditional instrument, but it was a tradition that really hung by a thread. It was almost lost after World War II. And I'll be playing Scottish reel pipes, which are an instrument that has been known since the 18th century in Scotland, but for indoor playing. So basically, I'm playing this concert in the Heartland Art Gallery. None of my instruments are really that loud. Nothing's louder than, say, a loud saxophone or anything. The loudest instrument is probably about the same volume as a sax.
So this is bearable.
Well, I find it quite bearable.
Well, I really enjoyed this recording. I'm not sure if I've heard the Northumbrian small pipes before. There's a good chance that I have and just didn't know what I was listening to. But I like the recording not only for the sound of these particular pipes, and also, of course, for your playing of them, but also for the mix of styles that's on here, and also the fact that you play a lot of, well, if for lack of a better term, we could call it chamber music with a number of other instrumentalists, sometimes just one other, a guitar, piano, and sometimes with several other instruments.
In fact, the reason I started Northumbrian Small Pipes in the first place was because I wanted a bagpipe that I could write chamber music for. I wanted a bagpipe that had a reasonable volume and that had a real great musical range. And instead of picking a bagpipe based on, you know, a cultural interest or ethnicity or anything like that, I studied bagpipes and picked a bagpipe that I thought had the right musical characteristics that I could write music for, because I wanted to write music for melody and drones and integrate harmony and counterpoint with that. And you were talking about my CD. There's a couple of tracks on my CD that are great examples of that. One is, as you mentioned, The First Leaves of Spring, and the other was Lance Robson's Jig, which closes with a fugue that I wrote. But once I started playing pipes, I got more and more interested in traditional music, both from Northumberland, yes, and also from Ireland, and also from Scotland, and most recently, very interested in Cape Breton traditional music. So when you hear my compositions now, you'll hear a lot of traditional music influence and also a lot of early music influence. I was an early music major at Oberlin Conservatory about 30-some years ago, and a lot of the compositional techniques that I use are ones that I learned in college. And so these two, I think you'll hear that in some of these compositional tracks that you play. You'll hear 18th century classical influences, and you'll hear Celtic influences, and they're both present, and that I think that's is almost an ongoing characteristic of my original music.
Well, why don't we play one of those as an example, since we're talking about all this. This is Dick Hensel's composition, First Leaves of Spring. He plays the Northumbrian small pipes. He's joined by harpist Kathy Victorson, mm-hmm. Fiddle player Bruce Bowers, and whistle player Laura McKenzie. And Dick Hensel is my guest on Live and Local. He's going to be playing the pipes of various types at Heartland Gallery on Sunday night in Urbana. Thank you. That was music called First Leaves of Spring. It was written by the performer on the Northumbrian Small Pipes in this recording, his name Dick Hensold, and joined by some others on harp, fiddle, and whistle. He'll be playing solo Sunday night on the Piper's Hut Concert Series in Urbana, and he's my guest on Live and Local. Very pleased to have him here to talk about some instruments that, this instrument that I imagine most people not familiar with the various types of Celtic music will have heard of before. I think I got lost in my sentence, but I hope you know what I meant right there. I want to ask you a little bit about, this is a bit of an aside to what we're talking about, except that it fits into the eclecticism of your own interests. I mentioned at the outset that among the things you specialize in is Cambodian traditional music, and that's one that really one has to ask, how did that get into the mix?
Oh, there was this wonderful Cambodian musician that moved to St. Paul in the 80s, and I heard him play the first time in 1986, and he had just such a free musicality, and the music he played was so beautiful, and he was such just a knock your socks off virtuoso on several different instruments, and just the chance to play with him inspired me to learn his music because his music was so beautiful. And so I hired him for a gig, and he taught me some tunes, and I managed to learn them quicker than any of his other students. So he had his translator daughter say, "You can come back and learn tunes anytime."
Which is a nice compliment.
So I had an idea for a band in 1986 that combined Cambodian traditional music, and that was really the biggest part, Cambodian traditional music and Irish music and early music and jazz. And we did a CD that was released in 1989 called the New International Trio. And we had it was this fellow who played Cambodian instruments, and myself on Northumbrian small pipes and recorder and string bass, and a harpsichordist. The group was really formed around the idea of trying to find the kinship between different types of music.
Well, you do have an example of some Cambodian music on your CD, which is called Big Music for Northumbrian Small Pipes. And I thought, just for the fun of it, since we've been talking about it, we could give a listen to this. It's called, if I'm pronouncing it right, Rayong Khnom Jophai.
Good. Close enough.
Close
That's
enough.
As close as I ever get.
Tell me the name of the Kim player or Hammer Dulcimer player who's joining you.
Bun Lung. And that is... That is the gentleman that I played with for 21 years.
That's him. Okay. Well,
that's
wonderful.
Him. Yep.
You have keyboardist here, Jane Langtot, or something like
Jane
that?
Jane Langto, yeah.
Langto. Okay. Thank you very much. And it's Dick Hensold on the Northumbrian Small Pipes, which he will be playing along with other pipes in concert Sunday night in Urbana at 8 o'clock. Thank you. It's music that comes from Cambodia, a Cambodian pop tune that translates roughly as "My life is finished." And Dick Hensold, in his notes to his CD here, says, apparently because my baby Don left me. And Dick Hensold on the Northumbrian Small Pipes, joined by Cambodian hammered dulcimer player, an instrument called the kim, Bun Lung, and on the electronic keyboard is Jane Lung To. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, where Dick Hensold is my guest in advance of his concert in Urbana Sunday night. And as we mentioned earlier, he's going to be playing not only the Northumbrian small pipes, but a number of other types. We talked about the Swedish bagpipes. There's also some Norwegian, a Norwegian willow flute. I don't have the slightest idea. What is a willow flute?
Well, it's a flute made out of willow bark. That's how they are traditionally made. Mine, of course, I need something a little bit more rugged to take on the road, so mine's made of CPVC. But I still call it a selje flute, which is Norwegian for willow flute.
And how did you get into all of the Scandinavian types of instruments here?
Easy. I live in Minnesota.
Oh, that would do it, wouldn't it?
It does. There is a very strong connection between Minnesota and both Sweden and Norway. There's plenty of recent immigrants from Sweden and Norway. Plenty of recent immigrant musicians from Sweden and Norway, and a lot of musicians go back and forth. The Scandinavian immigration to Minnesota was recent enough, like about three generations back, that a lot of the Scandinavians in Minnesota still go back to visit relatives. So there's the Scandinavian music is done very well in Minnesota.
And of course, anybody who listens to a Prairie Home Companion on this station will know the Minnesota and Norwegian connection, although in a different context, I guess.
Yeah, right. The same ethnically, the same thing.
You're also going to be playing the, I guess you mentioned the reel pipes, which is spelled R-E-E-L.
Mm-hmm.
Indoor version of the Scottish Highland pipes. Is it difficult to go from one type of pipe or pipes to another in a short space of time? Is there an adaptation required from you technically?
Well, technically, I think... That's an interesting question. I've talked to other musicians about this. Do you know what's hard is going from recorder to whistle, because you hold them both the same and they both feel the same. So there's nothing to clue your body in. And I think what happens, I mean, certainly you go into a Broadway musical and there'll be a reed book, and so they're typically expected to play a bunch of different instruments, like sax and clarinet and flute. And there are a lot of players that do this. Nobody seems to have any difficulty with it. And I think that the reason is that you're blowing something that feels totally different. That it feels different in your chest, in the core of your body, and that tells your fingers what fingering system to use. What I also hear is that players who play lute and guitar both have difficulty switching back and forth. You wrap your body around it the same way. There's no clues. There's no physical body clues that tell you this is one instrument and this is the other.
Well, listeners can have a chance to witness Dick Hensold wrestle with a whole bunch of different type of instruments, mostly bagpipes of some form or another from various mm-hmm. parts of the world, on Sunday night at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. This concert will be at Heartland Gallery, a nice intimate space on West Main Street in downtown Urbana. And I really appreciate your taking the time to join us here on Live and Local.
Oh, thanks for the call.
Well, let's go out with the last tune on this CD, which is called Lance Robson's Jig. It's Dick Hensold's own composition, obviously in traditional style, and he's joined by a bunch of different musicians here, which makes it kind of fun. Flutist Laura McKenzie, guitarist Karen Mueller, violinist Joanna Shelton, violist Jenna Watson, and cellist Michelle Kinney here on Live and Local. Piper Dick Hensold and colleagues in one of his own tunes called Lance Robson's Jig here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And again, Dick Hensold will be playing in Urbana Sunday night at 8 o'clock. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Stay tuned for our next segment coming up with some live music in our studio by five members of the Early Music Vocal Ensemble from Millikan University in Decatur. They are called Tudor Voices, as they have just released a new CD. We have support for our broadcast today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium in Urbana. This Friday, April 12th at 7:30 p.m., the Corkscrew is hosting a tasting with Pure Wine Company to benefit Community Radio WEFT. Then on Saturday from 3 to 6, it's a tasting of wines for spring, followed from 7 to 9 by Eric Lund and the Jazz Friends Quintet. Details are on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. It's time to donate your CDs, records, DVDs, tapes, and working stereo equipment to the vintage vinyl sale, which will benefit Illinois Radio Reader. Just take those donations of used CDs, records, DVDs, tapes, and working stereo equipment to any Busey Bank office in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, or Mahomet, or to the sale site at 40 East University Avenue in Champaign. For more information, call Dean Geiken at 217-333-6503. Here are a couple of selections from that new CD by Tudor Voices. It's called In a Veil of Tears and includes music by Domenico Scarlatti from his Stabat Mater. Here are two of the movements from that.
Thank you.
That's music by Domenico Scarlatti from his wonderful Stabat Mater, performed by Tudor Voices at Millikan University in Decatur under the direction of Daniel Carberg from their brand new CD, hot off the press. It's called In a Vale of Tears, obviously features that extensive work, and another one by Heinrich Schütz called Musikalische Exequien. And we have five members of Tudor Voices, plus Professor Carberg with us live in our studio here on FM 90.9. And I was really delighted to hear first about the group, which has apparently been around for a whole lot longer than I realized, and certainly about the new CD. Unfortunately, we missed the chance to tell people about a concert that you just gave, what, about a week ago?
Yes, we just gave a concert last week. It was in anticipation of the CD, which is going to be released next week officially. We have a few kind of advanced copies of the CD.
I have one in my hand.
You do?
Right,
you're a very lucky man.
Yeah.
So, yes, we did a concert last week, which was not this program, but a different program, but it was to advertise this upcoming release.
Sure. So, first CD for the group.
Yes. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and for various reasons we've kind of held off, budget reasons and also just waiting for the right group. This is a really ambitious project, and I just really wanted to make sure that I had the right combination of singers that could really handle this difficult music and really do it justice. So.
Well, give us an idea of what is the point of Tudor Voices. What is it? What do they exist to do?
They exist to perform at a very high level. I consider most of their performing as being at a graduate level rather than an undergraduate level, even though it's all undergraduate students. And we explore all different types, mostly early music, but some new compositions as well. But it's really a chance to get together and read some difficult music and explore some big works as well. So like these two that we have just recorded.
So when we say early music, which actually we were talking about in our previous segment with Piper Dick Hensold, we're actually talking in this case about, and probably in his case too, about medieval, Renaissance, Baroque, mostly,
yeah.
Plus when you sneak in some other things. When you do more contemporary music, is it music that has some obvious influence of the older music?
Yeah, I think the singing style for a lot of new compositions for small choral groups is very similar. The sound production is very similar. So if you think of compositions such as like Eric Whitaker, the sound is very not completely straight, but it's a more pure, lighter sound production than if you were, say, singing Verdi choruses or something like that.
Well, speaking of sound production, how is it that you go about choosing the particular singers? Because singing early music often requires a particular type of vocalism, depending upon how you choose to approach it.
Yeah, we do auditions at the beginning of the semester for each year, and I really listen carefully as to who has a lot of control over their voice and who can sing. So particularly for the sopranos, it can be very taxing if they're singing at the top of their range for an hour twice a week and have trouble controlling their voice up there, and if they get really tired. So I look for sopranos that have real good stamina and that it's easy for them to sing up there. And that pretty much goes with all of the voice types, but also that have a sense of style and that really seem to have a passion for this style of music.
We have five representatives of Tudor Voices in the room with us, Amanda Saul and Emily Schneider, both of whom are among those sopranos. Aaron, I can't read my writing, Kehoe, mm-hmm. Right? On, where are you?
Right.
Alto. they moved since I was last in,
sorry.
In the studio. Tenor Dane Newberry and bass Morgan Bothwell. And I'm just kind of curious, what programs at Millikan do you come from? Well, it's Amanda, out of curiosity. Amanda, sorry.
I am a vocal performance major, and I'm a senior.
Vocal performance, mm-hmm. And Emily?
I'm a vocal performance and flute performance, and I am a senior as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very curious about if anybody's going to give me a particular answer, but Aaron?
I'm vocal performance, and I'm a senior.
Oh, old people in this room here. Dane?
I'm vocal music education, I'm a junior.
Uh-huh. And Morgan?
I'm vocal performance, and I'm a sophomore.
Well, nobody said what I thought somebody might say, just because I've actually helped to judge the concerto competition a number of times at Millikan, and inevitably there's some really fine singers from the music theater program.
Yes.
Whose voice types, I would imagine, could potentially fit this sort of music. And so I'm just kind of curious if any of them might have infiltrated your group, or are they in the larger group?
At Millikan, the music theater students are kept extremely busy, and they often have conflicts with the choral times. But I have had music theater students in this ensemble before, and they've most of them have been really, really wonderful. But because of the time conflicts between the music department and the theater department, it doesn't always work out to have theater or music theater majors in the ensemble.
And so, of course, Dan paid you all quite a nice compliment in saying that things you had to be able to do with your voices in order to get in the group. And just the fact that he asked the five of you to represent the group, which is what, about 20?
16.
16?
Yep.
I assume it was a further compliment. Or did you just happen to be the one who could get out of class?
No, they were asked to specifically
and
to do this.
Well, I know they're going to sing a couple of things for us live, not from the CD, but I want to ask you before we get to that. As you said, it's sort of an ambitious recording project, not only just to do a recording at all, but also to do these particular pieces, which are not done very often.
No.
And one composer in particular, I think, is just kind of grossly neglected, and he's Heinrich Schütz. And in fact, this is a piece that I've seen recordings of. I'd never actually heard any of it, and I never knew what it meant. So, assuming your translation is accurate in here, you're going to tell me what it means. But
yeah, so the Musikalische Exequien is basically musical funeral, music for a funeral. And he composed this music. He was actually commissioned by a friend of his who was the Count Royce. And this count knew that he was going to die. And so he had all of these texts compiled and asked Schütz to come up with some order for them. But Count Royce actually had all these texts inscribed on his coffin even before he died. He had planned the entire funeral service. This is one of the first actual German requiems. And so it's very interesting that he had a huge part in actually planning his own funeral service. And then Schütz, with his great musical talent, came up with three big sections for this work. So he sectionalized this. The first section is a combination of ensemble and solo and duets and trios. And the texts are biblical, but they're also from poets such as Martin Luther. And so it's a real combination of poetry and biblical texts. And the second part is a motet for double choir. And so the ensemble is split equally for that. And then the third section, which we might have time to hear at some point, is really interesting. It's the full ensemble, except the score specifies for three soloists to stand away from the ensemble. And one of the soloists is baritone or bass, and that is signifying the male who has died, and two sopranos who are representative of the angels taking him up to heaven.
There's both particularly difficult pieces, I think.
They are.
And the Schütz especially. What made you choose these for your first recording? Of all the early music you could have picked?
These are two of my favorite pieces. I've performed them a lot in my lifetime. And once I started hearing this ensemble getting to that potential level, the idea just popped into my head. And it's been a lifelong dream.
And you couldn't get it out of your head?
I couldn't get it out of my head, no.
You decided to do it. So Both those pieces represent the Baroque era. What are we going to do? We got a couple things we're going to do live. The first one by Peter Phillips. I'm sure forgetting what period he comes from.
He is English Renaissance, early Baroque, and he is a very overlooked composer. Often his pieces are scored very high for the female parts, but it's really, really stunning music. Often he's compared to, say, Tallis or someone like that. Mm. But yes, we're going to perform his Ave Regina Celorum.
Which means roughly?
Holy Mary, Mother, basically. And so it's a description. It's a Marian motet.
Okay, five members of Tudor Voices from Millikan University in Decatur. They're live in our studio under the direction of Daniel Carberg. Music beautifully sung live in our studio by five members of Tudor Voices from Millikan University in Decatur under the direction of Daniel Carberg. It was music by Peter Phillips called Ave Regina Celorum. We heard sopranos Amanda Saul and Emily Schneider, alto Aaron Kehoe, tenor Dane Newberry, and bass Morgan Bothwell. Kind of curious for you, Dan, first, and then a follow-up question briefly to some of the singers.
Sure.
In music of this period, often you'll hear a really strict elimination of vibrato.
Yes.
And you know, clearly there was some in the singing here, mm-hmm. and I wonder if that's a stylistic choice on your part. Is it a concession to younger voices or some other reason?
It's a combination. I usually don't say, sing straight tone. And part of that is that the voices are younger, and I don't want to inhibit their vocal development and freedom. It can get very tiring to sing straight tone all the time. And I think some of that, too, we're not used to singing just one on a part. We usually have two on a part or three on a part. And so it's a little easier to blend and match that way. But when you're singing by yourself, the instinct is to use a little bit more solo technique, which I think is what we've modified to at the moment, and I'm happy for that.
Yeah, I mean, I was sung in early music groups in Chicago where they did say no vibrato,
mm-hmm.
except sometimes for the basses, which was the part that I sang in, mm-hmm. and I do remember how tiring it could get.
Yes.
So I'm just curious about that. But also, from any of you that wants to chime in here, I'm curious, since you are all vocal majors, and typically I would imagine most vocal majors study later classical music as often as anything, and often opera. I don't know what happens at Millikan. How does this type of music fit into what you're doing, or maybe more to the point I want to get at? What sort of adjustments do you need to make in order to sing this type of music, both musically and technically? Anybody that wants to chime in?
Well,
this is well, you can tell from the voice. But this is Morgan.
The thing about Tudor Voices is it's a great ear exercise. You're always training your ear to be better, to be accurate. And that breath support that's needed for opera and for early music is similar, but different. So you get to experience different muscles, different ways of singing, which is good whether you're going to do opera, jazz, whatever you want. It's always good to have that classical base.
I'm curious, maybe from one of the sopranos, since Dan sort of mentioned particularly things can lie really high for you and maybe especially hard to pass the audition, so to speak, for that reason.
Yeah, it is hard kind of going from singing opera and then singing an ensemble because you have to blend more to other people. Whereas while singing opera, you know, you're way up in the stratosphere and you can kind of do whatever you want. But when you're singing in an ensemble and it's a little bit more of a more middle range in certain aspects, it's kind of hard to, you know, balance that going from singing, you know, way up high to singing more of a middle range. But it's, you just have to really listen to each other and kind of balance that.
So even when you get up way in the stratosphere, as you sometimes do, you can't just let loose.
Exactly, yeah.
And take all the accolades yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Just what opera singers are supposed to do,
right?
Exactly. Well, we do have, I need to mention this first, that our program today is made possible with support from the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting trumpet phenomenon Alison Balsam and the Scottish Ensemble on Thursday, April 18th at 7:30 p.m. in the Fullinger Great Hall. For more information, visit krannertcenter.com or call 217-333-6280. We've got some music by Monteverdi to sing next.
Yes, this is A Dolente Partita, which is the pain of leaving, basically. And this is from the Book 8 Madrigals. And it's a very emotionally charged text. We have a lot of what we call word painting in this, where the pain is signified by half-step dissonances. And then we have, starting with the alto line, A fin della mia vita, which is a descending line, the end of my life.
Should I get out the tissues there?
Maybe.
All right. Members of Tudor Voices from Millikan University live in our studio.
Sento nel partire con vivace morire.
Con vivace morire chi da vita dolore.
Forché vorrei morto.
Con
vivace morire chi da vita dolore.
Music by Claudio Monteverdi called A Dolente Partita, sung by five members of Millikan University's Tudor Voices, Amanda Saul, Emily Schneider, Aaron Kehodane Newberry, and Morgan Bothwell, going from the top of the range to the bottom under the direction of Daniel Carberg. And they have a brand new CD, which is not officially out yet, but we have a pre-press or off-the-press copy that is called In a Veil of Tears, with music by Scarlatti and Schutz. And we'll hear another sample of that in just a moment. I want to say thanks to all of you for making the trek over here to Urbana. You sound wonderful, and best of luck with the CD release.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Our broadcast today is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, a Nurison preferred dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. This is usually the point where I do a bit of a calendar of things going on. I'm just going to truncate that to one extended event. That is the Boneyard Arts Festival happening in Champaign County. It starts today and runs through Sunday in Urbana, Champaign, on University of Illinois campus, and out and about in other communities in the county. You can go to the website for the county's Arts Council, which is 40north.org, 40north.org. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music and more for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Here are the full Tudor voices in music from the Musikalische Exequien by Heinrich Schütz on FM 90.9.